Enjoy this episode of Low Moon Outsiders.
May I have a piece of pie?
Oh, have a whole pie. You're a big strapping young man. They're 8-inch pies. I mean, a whole is still a lot. I would say it is a lot, but...
I'll just like that. Okay. You have four pies on the table.
You want two slices, buddy? She just offered me a whole pie, so...
Yep. Okay, so she extends her hand, and Olivia puts another pie in her hand, and it goes on the table in front of you, and then she says, "There, a pie for everyone. But you might need two. I usually have one a day myself. You're behind. Plus, you're so skinny."
I think I'll be okay with just the one.
"You're beautifully proportioned, just like a halfling, except somebody grabbed you by the head and the toes and pulled real hard. That's all. Oh. Stretched you way out, they did. Could be a problem in childbearing. You haven't ever had children, have you?"
"No."
"Why is this going to stretch me all out?"
All right. So, conversation around the room continues and so on. The music continues. The eating continues. People are filtering out and filtering in. The room will hold comfortably about 50 people at the most. That really is pretty tight. Would make it hard for the food to get around, that kind of thing. But even in the 15 minutes you've been there now, about half the people have left and another 20 or so have come. Pretty sure just about everybody in the village eats dinner, eats every meal at this inn. And most people don't even run a fire in their houses for purposes of cooking. So, since you've been here, you also know that the when you're staying in the inn, the price of breakfast, lunch, dinner, and fourth meal all come with the price of staying in the inn, which it's one silver piece per night. So normally you can't even buy that much food for one silver piece necessarily. It's certainly not this quality of food. So it's definitely a worthwhile place to put on your Google review list. All right. That being said,
we'll come back later.
Yeah, that being said, she eventually gets up and leaves. Olivia does stop by again and talk. Edward comes by to make sure that food was excellent, which he knows it would be. And finally, Mabel makes a round. Mabel is the mother of the family, or sorry, is the aunt. So she is Ethan's aunt. And she is... Cassandra, who you've not seen today, her sister. And she has a talent for making everybody comfortable, and she's good with hospitality, and she goes around making sure everybody has everything that she needs. And then when she comes around today, she invites you to tomorrow night. After fourth meal, they're having a game night. And so dice will be provided and other games of chance. And this time, in light of the fact that the inn has actual, will have actual guests staying in the inn, not just locals, all of the guests will be admitted for free to the game night. So you're all welcome to come for free. All right, so we're going to fast forward a little bit then at that point in time. So you've eaten, you're entertained by the society in general. You've had time to heal up, so everybody can be considered to be at full hit points. Your hand is probably at 90%. It's still sore, but it's not restricting you from doing anything that you want to do with it. Figure... a few days of common use, so as long as you don't strain it again, it should be fine. You just generally feel safe, welcomed in the town. Okay. Some point in time during that day, between lunch and dinner, you'll find out that Ebony was more than willing to have Clune continue to stay in the room if she wants to. So where you're going to sleep that night will be determined. They have not heard anything by dinner, at least, about Ethan. Like, and sometimes he'll send word ahead, and sometimes he just pops up, and he does like to play the occasional prank, and it makes it easier for him to play pranks when no one knows he's coming. So he doesn't always give advance notice. So no sign of him coming yet. There would be a couple of hours opportunity for training. People still need training, that kind of thing. Clue needs to train with her weapons because...
I still have one weapon and one...
Yes, so you need to get a trainer or somebody to teach you how to do whatever it is you're going to try to do with those. But you know that you have there is a duration to your time here because, well, even though you could base out of here, you're assuming that Serena is out there somewhere and you're supposed to be locating her for her father, which removes a certain burden on a Sturt as well. Okay, so 2 to 3 hours of time to kill between lunch and dinner, then about 90 minutes to kill between dinner and fourth meal if you're having it, and then a couple hours to kill before sundown. So you got about 5 hours-ish total if you need to do something in particular. Otherwise, the assumption is that you're eating healthy meals, enjoying the hospitality, training, practicing, that kind of thing. I assume Chiron's actually training for his level, so you probably would try to get that 5 hours in, I would imagine.
Yes. Is
and you will have already gotten in 18 by that time in the first 3 days. So you'll be at 23.
So is training normally is 5 days or 7 days?
40 hours. So if you can do
so just
four 10-hour days, it's 4 days, right?
Trainer mostly is what you do.
Yeah.
As far as okay. And I'll take 5 hours.
Yeah. And then also, at the end of the 40 hours, you have to make a wisdom check. If you fail the check, then you need 10 more hours to get another check. Yeah. And that's same with level, proficiencies, everything.
It's nice that I've always played a relatively wise character.
It does help. Okay.
Can my learning to change quickly, is that considered a non-weapon proficiency?
It is considered a non-web proficiency, and it can only be taught by somebody who has that ability.
That's what I thought.
So really, you could practice with it and train yourself, but it's going to take a minimum of 60 hours, and it's going to be, if you don't have a trainer, you're going to be at like half your wisdom to make the check. So you can fumble through it. Plus, you also have to be careful because to train with it, you have to actually change.
Right.
And so you'd be changing to and from and to and from, which, first of all, is tiring. And secondly, it's scary for anybody who happens to be around.
Train for 2 hours and go right back to sleep for 4 more days.
would my shape change be somewhere enough to be of any benefit?
So it would be if you knew how to do what it is that she's trying to do.
Yeah.
Which you don't.
Gotcha. So.
Character really changed shape regardless.
He has briefly changed shape into a bird.
Let's see, it's not very fitting for the surroundings.
That's
okay. Yes, sir.
I have pouches, four pouches that I took off of orcs.
Okay.
That I would go through.
Okay.
I don't know what orcs. I just wrote four orc pouches, which is unlike me. I'm usually better about that.
Okay.
Might have been the guys in the woods.
44 silver total.
Do you have a party trigger?
Alright, well, I'm gonna put a party trigger. 28 gold total.
I'm just gonna let it break.
5 platinum total. And there are 2 gems between the 4 pouches.
And then I'm reading my sailing knot book once I finish my training.
Okay.
I've got to be almost through that thing.
So everybody can have.
You've been reading it consistently for the last few days, then you should be about done.
So everybody can have 8 silver, 5 gold, and a platinum since we're in town, and you might have things to spend it on.
Arrows.
That leaves an additional.
within reason, all normal equipment is available. You won't find really heavy armor like field plate or above. You will not find much in the way of horses. There might be a little bit. A lot of the trails up here are not really suitable. They have ponies and donkeys. So if you want a pony or a donkey.
Anything better than a draft horse. And then I guess at some point I'd probably be in the village or in the market if they have anything of interest.
The village is the market. There's no separate market. It's just all scattered throughout. Basically, people sell out of the front of their house or whatever.
Such a considering I think I only have to train for 4 to 6 hours.
We have 2 hours for bodybuilding. And then you have 2 hours for each weapon of choice.
Okay, so, it's like 8 hours.
Yeah. And then do you have any special maneuvers or anything?
Twitter clothes.
That's another 2 hours. So, yes, you either need to get in a fight or train for 10 hours a day. Pretty inefficient. You, sir, are a tank, and you must be maintained.
How much do you have? 10 hours.
10 hours a day.
Bodybuilding.
Three weapons of choice, bodybuildings, and flurry of blows. That's all. Yeah.
I probably have 10 hours a day, too, then.
Yeah, if you have any special maneuvers, it's bodybuilding and all your weapons of choice.
Tracking percentile con over 18.
No.
Do I have to do training or stealing?
I mean, technically, it could matter at some point. If you get to 18100, then you would only need one wish to go to 19. So I guess you can if you want to, but
I'm like 5 levels behind on it.
We can safely assume that it's been going up. Just remember that what level you got to 18, and it's fine.
I don't have to start like training my healing at a certain level or anything, do I?
Train what?
My healing.
What do you got? What was the question, though?
I don't have to like start training it when it gets to a certain level.
To maintain it.
No. No.
Okay. Then I should have 6 hours. Or no. I have cavalier bodybuilding and then my 3 weapons choice.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't want to have 10 hours. I don't think I need a special way.
It's not terribly bad when you're actually on adventure and you're fighting every day. It's like you mix your weapons up.
Yeah.
You're like, why would a cavalier ever use a mace when he can just use his longsword? Because he's saving 2 hours of training. That's the main reason right there.
Also, the mace is very effective against armored opponents in real life.
Yes.
Can Clune find somebody to train her on her weapon proficiency for the longbow?
Yeah, probably.
Lucas is proficient, but if he has 10 hours of training a day, you can help.
Break all the rules then, huh?
Nope, just that one.
All the cavaliers are proficient, or can be
proficient. Victor's proficient. He's of a level he doesn't care. And he has more weapon slots than he knows what to do with.
Karn is proficient. I think Karn was the first human cavalier they ever met that was proficient in a longbow. Although, it's mostly for polish at that point because your FACO is so good. I mean, when you get to be like 15th level, your FACO is a 6. The difference between being proficient is a FACO of 6 or a FACO of 9.
Yeah. And then, by the time you hit 20th level, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a black belt.
And by the time you hit 25th level,
so basically it means that like you can find the chinks in plate armor at short range
with a toothpick.
And if your THACO is 9, that means you would need 7 or better to hit a man in plate mail armor. 6 or better to hit a man in plate mail armor. At short range. Then it goes to 8 at medium range. 11 at long range.
At 15.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, that's a high level, so.
It's probably got.
Okay, checking on horses. So now you have already searched through, and so unless something new comes in, the only thing they really have to sell is ponies or donkeys, mules, and then there are a few like light riding horses. They're horses that are not really for bearing people in armor or riding into combat. Okay. And you have tended to the draft horse, and you had taken a good long look at him. So you feel confident that riding him into combat is definitely not an impossibility. He could be ridden into combat.
Did reading my sailor notebook learn me anything?
So you don't already have rope use, is that correct?
I do.
You do already have rope use? Okay, roll a rope use check.
No problem. Roll a 9.
Okay. So basically what you've done is you found a bunch of additional knots, and you've found a way of tying them kind of in their unique situation that they'll be useful for. And so what that results in is twofold. One, if your action for a round is tying knots, you get +1 on initiative. Okay. Also, if you choose, you can make a second rope use proficiency to reduce the amount of time that it takes. Like, so you have a task that you're tying, like you're tying a rope ladder or you're tying somebody up, let's say, and you can reduce the amount of time that it takes to complete that. For every segment that you reduce it by, you take -1 on your rope use check. So if it's a 4 segment process, you can reduce it to a minimum of 1 segment. You can tie them up in 1 segment instead of 4, but you get -3 on your check. So that's,
and you have to set it beforehand?
Yeah, you have to decide beforehand. But it's actually really cool. You think about it, like, so I'm going to take half this round and tie somebody up. I'm going to take -3 on my rope use check and tie them up in 1 segment.
Is rope use, can you still take another action after that?
It's dex.
Oh, I'm just going to let it.
I think you got it at a lower proficiency from reading the book in the first place. So that way, that may have been why it wasn't at full proficiency.
It's possible.
I'd have to count my proficiency. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know that I wasn't done with the book yet.
No, yeah. I knew you were done, but...
Yeah. Anyway, so... You have gotten every bit of value out of the book now, and that's the result. Okay. Does Klum currently have a longbow?
Yes.
Okay.
It's magic craft.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, yes, you can find someone to train you outside the party if you want. Does Asturd need to do training right now? He's not training for a level, right?
No.
So you have to do longbow proficiency training anyway because you're specialized in the longbow. Do you have any other weapon proficiency trainings that you have to do?
No.
You have dance. That's an hour a day.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I can do strength training.
I feel like an hour a day for dance is a bit steep.
I feel like you get to be proficient.
It basically works like bodybuilding.
Well, if you're
just half of bodybuilding.
It's breakdancing.
Yeah. It's anyway, he's getting the benefits out of it. Half a bodybuilding. Adios. Anyway, so you would need 3 hours a day of training with the bow and dance, but half of the time that you spend training with the bow could be counted toward her training as well.
Okay.
So if you wanted to train her like those 5 hours, for example, you probably already completed your bow for the day, but... she could get 5 hours toward being proficient in the longbow.
I can do that if she wants.
And then, assuming there is a next day, you could do 8 hours, for example, which would cover your bow. And then you'd still have to do 1 hour of dance at some point in time. So, but that assumes there is another day. Or, I mean, you could do it while traveling. So if you start that process, the point is anytime that you train her, half the time that you half the time that you normally have to train for your longbow could count as training for her. So your 2 hours of training, you could always give her one free hour of training, basically. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. So, anything really important anyone wants to do? Seduce a farmer's daughter? Or a farmer's son?
Give the sailor not booked for anybody if they want to read.
Okay.
Somebody had world use or wish to learn.
See somebody in town, maybe they'll trade you a book for something else.
Yes, for 5 hours?
Yes.
Sure. Is there a library?
Not public use library, no. The wealthy families maintain a library in their chambers in the hill, but not really in town per se.
Okay.
Reading is not a big thing. It's not looked down on, it's just they spend most of their time surviving.
I'm just making friends and influencing people.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so that evening, this is not the game night, that's tomorrow night, right? But that evening, after fourth meal, Ethan shows up. When he shows up, he comes with a small caravan, for lack of a better way of describing it. It has one pull cart being pulled by a donkey, and about 12 individuals total. And all of them are on a trip. So he is leading them, and he chooses to bring them to the Hillcrest Inn for respite before they continue their journey. One of the most interesting characters on the trip with him is a young man, probably 17, 18 years old. He's a strapping lad in plate armor, has black braided hair going down his back, and wears a light white fur cloak, light as in not heavy, not good for protecting from cold weather. And he wears a gold chain around his neck that has three largish kind of reptilian looking ears laced on the chain. You know, initially you probably only saw him from a distance, whatever, he's not introduced per se, but the rumors circulate very rapidly, as they do in a small, very friendly town. It's not gossip per se, it's just a good service that you provide to your neighbors. And you find out that the man is Van Brake, and he is a dragon hunter. So, he is a fair-skinned human, again, mid to late teens, very muscular, plate armor, white fur cloak. He blends into the crowd as if he kind of like is extremely relaxed and feels comfortable here, like maybe he's been here before, or he just, wherever he goes, he feels like he's well-received, that kind of thing. Most of the people that were with him were men. And there's only one other halfling that was with him. And he leaves the caravan and blends and like disappears into the village almost immediately. So we never really do get a chance to meet him. As soon as he arrives in the inn, Ethan is told that you guys are looking to meet with him, that you've been waiting for him to arrive, have some questions, whatever. And he has word passed to you that he's going to eat and make sure all of his people from the caravan have a place to sleep and everything like that, and then he'll happily meet with you. So, about an hour. Okay. By that time, it's dark outside. a dark blue and battleship gray sky. Sort of has constant movement as the battleship gray is the clouds. Small moon, no stars, so it is pretty dark. Those of you who do not have some kind of advanced form of vision, the village has torches burning here and there, and there are lanterns lit in many windows, but moving about the village is definitely moving from shadow to shadow. But you really don't feel danger, you know, it seems pretty safe nonetheless. Some of the animals wander around at night. The kids are out playing until an hour or two after dark. It's just fine.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view.
All right, so we're going to pick up with the meeting with Ethan at the inn. And so wherever you're at, I presume at that point in time, you know you're going to be meeting with him, so somewhere around the inn, somewhere. And the family passes word to you that Ethan's in the inn room and is expecting you. Again, Ethan.
I will make my way there.
All right. Ethan is a halfling. He has blonde hair, pudgy face. He's stout, probably 5 foot tall. No shoes, hairy feet. He does have some weaponry: short sword, dagger, short bow. Bow is against the wall with a quiver of arrows when you enter the room. And the room is pretty empty. Like, there's only about 15 people in there by that time. And the table where he's seated is completely empty as well. So it's just him sitting at the end of the table. Von Brake is in the room, but he's across the way in the corner. It's cool outside, cool enough to see your breath. But the fireplace is not burning in the inn room, so it's probably high 60s in there. We've got 20 minutes. Let's see if we can finish this conversation. So focus. Ready? A cow.
Never done.
All right. So he stands up to his full, almost 5 foot height at the end of the table. And he motions for you all to come toward him and be seated.
I'm bundled up a little from the Eastern lands. This is cold.
Yeah. And as you do so, Olivia comes by and delivers mugs. She delivers 6 mugs of ale in one trip. So she's got 3 in each hand, basically. And she says, anybody hungry? Plenty of fourth meal left. Ham steak.
Did we eat all the other 3 meals?
Well, I was assuming you ate every meal, which would be including fourth meal.
I could eat
4 meals.
I could have
one. All right. Come out here, a couple pounds in here.
Okay.
I trained for 10 hours.
Yeah. But you probably ate big at every meal, too, so you're probably keeping up no problem. You're in the 30,000-calorie range, probably.
30,000? You mean
3,000? No, I mean
30. Oh, my God.
That little Korean fighter dude eats 20,000 a day, and he's nothing compared to Lucas.
His metabolism probably a little bit faster
than Lucas's. Yeah, I was going to say, he must be a hummingbird and evaporate it all.
Yeah.
So you know that they rate your skeletal muscle, like it says like you have 52% skeletal muscle. Lucas has like 87% skeletal muscle. He's got an 18 strength.
Is that like,
that's quite a bit. Yeah. So his metabolic rate.
Twice as too hard to break bones.
Yeah.
His.
His bones.
Okay. Anyway.
He's a little over designed.
He says, if I'd have known y'all was waiting for me, I'd have hippie-jibbied into town a little bit quicker.
Hippie-jibbied.
OK. But I'm here now.
Tyrod doesn't laugh.
And my feet aren't as sore as if I had hurried.
That's a good thing.
He takes a good swig of his ale. What y'all looking for me for, huh?
We were told that you were the man to speak to regarding a missing person who would most likely be hiding out in the area.
Well, it depends on how good they are at hiding, I suppose. I do get around, visit all the villages, pretty much. Although not so much to the east right now. We cut that whole segment out and came back here to Hillcrest instead on account of the cult activity going on over there.
So we've heard. It's less hiding and more of a refugee situation.
No, there's a lot of that going on. People are wandering around, leaving their houses behind, and sometimes having them destroyed right out from over them. It's truly tragic. Also, quite amazing, the number of things that people will leave behind. We filled up a whole cart from a village we went through to the northeast. Four bread boxes. Can you believe that? Four.
Things people will leave behind.
What
was
those girls
doing?
I'm going to talk to them.
Serena.
I'm looking for a woman named Serena, and I'm going to describe her in great detail.
Oh, the gypsy princess lady. Yeah, I've seen her. Let's see. But it wasn't on this last trip, so it's hard to say, because a lot has been changing. I think I saw her over in... No. Wait a minute. It's coming to me. I'm thinking. I can see her face. Also her breasts. I can see her breasts. I can see her navel. I can see almost all of her now. I remember her. She's kind of tall.
Everyone will be tall.
Yes, it's true. It's true. It's Gull Creek. In the tavern at Gull Creek, that's where I saw her. But there were three horses in the corral, and two of them were gypsy stock for sure. You know what I mean when I say gypsy stock, don't you?
No.
You know, the breed, the, what do they put, the brand changed a couple of times, you know?
Okay.
So, could be she was just passing through. Gull Creek.
Gull Creek.
You know where that's at? Any of y'all been through these parts? Or are y'all just as much a newbies as you look?
Have we been through these parts?
No. You're as far into the wild lands as you've ever been.
No, I'm afraid we've never been, as far as I know.
Ah, well. So, I've got this jaunt that I'm on right now. I've got to take these guys down southwest. Probably could be back day after tomorrow. And then for a small price, I could take you up to Gull Creek. And if she's not there, ask around, figure out where she went. Happy to help.
What's the price?
Let's say... silver a day. 10 days max, though, because when the fall rains set in, I've got a whole bunch of work lined up. So that's what? One electrum? I mean, you can afford that. Can't you?
Been doing this a long time.
Sounds agreeable enough.
All right. So, I mean, if you're in a hurry, I could have the lad take them the rest of the way down, and then I could be free to leave tomorrow. But that would be more expensive. I'd need 5 gold just to break my present commitment.
The lad.
Are we?
I've got an apprentice.
Yes, we are in a hurry.
Who's the apprentice?
Boy, name's Oaken. He knows the way down. It wouldn't be a problem. And they're going west, southwest, so not into cult territory.
Pay them in.
I was waiting for you guys to have
it. Not a. Oh, that won't be necessary. I feel perfectly comfortable with this price.
I bet you do.
It's not too unreasonable.
It's not too unreasonable.
How much more trade do I
have? 17 hours. Did you say 23 you're at?
Oh, wait.
17. You need 17 more hours for your first roll.
Well, it's 10 platinum to.
We're talking about even.
So tomorrow? The electrum.
No, it's one platinum.
10 silver is 1 electrum. 2 electrum is 1 gold.
Yeah, but 1 platinum is 5 gold, right?
That's right.
Correct.
Sorry.
So I was telling you to be 1 platinum.
Yes, well, 1 platinum would be sufficient.
Yeah.
To buy him out of his current commitment, plus a silver piece a day, maximum 10 days.
So.
I'd like to stay here for a couple of days.
Or minimum 10 days. Yeah.
I know that we also need to. I don't want to like say you shouldn't go see the girl, but I'm saying like I could catch up.
I have 7 women I need to do in town before I leave town, but I'm willing to go tomorrow. I should be able to get that done.
Now you know why he goes to work.
Why he travels around all these cities all the time. Got a schedule to keep.
We're already a week behind of where we should be. So,
no, I'm not saying just delay going. I'm saying I'll catch up.
Do you know your way? I'm sure there's someone.
If you're going to stay for a couple of days, then after the boy gets back, he could bring you down to Gull Creek.
There you go. I can protect the boy from monsters and brigands, should I need it.
That sounds dangerous for him.
Well, I'm saying, you know, you never know what can happen in the woods with. I mean, maybe you know better than I do. I don't know this area.
It's definitely more dangerous with knights with you than it is without.
That could be.
Knights don't know how to run away.
Also shiny and loud.
There.
Am I going to have to pay him or are you going to?
I will hand the man 5 gold pieces.
Oh dear. Olivia, excuse me. If I give you some notes, could you pass them around for me? I've got a very busy night ahead of me. I guess I'm leaving in the morning. Okay, at that point in time, Van Brake gets up and walks over. He puts his fist down on the table, just 2 knuckles, and he says, "Did I hear you say you're not going to take us the rest of the way?" He says, "These men and this fine young lady have just purchased my services, but Oaken can take you the rest of the way on through. He's made the trip 12 times. We had an arrangement." "We did, but they're paying me to break it." He looks around the table at each of you. Mind you, he's like 16, 17 years old. He is well-muscled, but he looks a little youngish to be really dangerous, but he's well-muscled.
How old is he?
16, 17 years old.
Oh, he's not much younger.
But he's also reported to be a dragon hunter, so.
Yes, and you can see that he has 3 large reptilian, large being like this big, reptilian ears on his necklace.
So he's killed.
Theoretically, 3 dragons.
Very young dragons, probably.
Small dragons, yes. If they're even dragon ears.
Swivering ears, maybe.
Small ones are still very dangerous.
Oh, yes.
Even especially when they're dead.
He killed them by himself.
Sorry. Even when anyway, they're dead.
He actually looks at each one of you, and everyone can roll percentile dice. You're looking for a high number.
Are you intimidating him?
He's appraising you.
71.
13.
25.
I'm not as imposing as 86. Most paladins.
To be fair. I'm not as imposing as most paladins. Okay. What was the lowest number?
13.
Okay. Klum is the least impressive. That sort of makes sense. Somehow. Considering she spends most of her time not standing out. Okay. He takes a deep breath. He looks at each of you in the face. And then he stands up. He twists his head oddly, and you hear a little cracking noise in his neck. And he says, "Fine. Whatever. If you see any dragons, just let me know." And he turns on his heel and he stomps back to a spot where he was sitting, but then he just grabs his mug and then he heads out toward the back, toward the rooms.
I don't know that there's too much value in this, but what's his alignment?
Oh, okay. You want to know his alignment? Okay. He is... Does it give you both...
It's no one... Well...
Let's see what kind of detail we get
before I answer your question.
I think no alignment gives you both. The spell no alignment. At least the clerical version does. Or the wizard version does. I don't know about the clerical. Just Dorkian cast it in.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You too can make the world a better place.
It is players. I thought it was under.
What?
It's
weird.
I mean, most people generally favor dragon hunters because there are way too many dragons around, and dragons eat people. So.
Well, that's when she woke up hungry. I was a little concerned.
Oh.
I'm hungry to eat a horse. One horse all the way.
Know the clergy. To exactly read the aura of a person, semi-human, semi-human, non-human, exact alignment. Up to 10 people can be examined with the spell.
Yes.
Well, you can look at one creature per round.
Okay, so after you get done with him, you can go around and look at other people.
Yeah. Like I can make sure I know everybody in the party.
Never hurts, right?
Because you never know when there's a doppelganger.
Okay. He is lawful evil.
Yeah, that's the worst possible one for this particular circumstance.
If he's running around killing dragons, are dragons evil in general?
I mean, so no, that's an overgeneralization. There are good dragons and there are evil dragons.
In the area?
What?
You'd be like a hero in the area, right?
They do perceive him as a hero, yes. That's why he's receiving, like...
That's what
it's more of just the
what's his motivation? Yeah. It all comes out of why are you doing what you're doing?
Well,
that's
and
what alignment is.
How? Maybe the best way to draw this dragon out is to stake a small child out there.
That would work too, yeah.
I see.
Poison and ambushes are perfectly fine. Oh, and lawful.
I mean just
break
the way
the
he
deal,
was,
face the wheel.
Yeah, just the way you just the way he reacted, you would think he was not a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew he was a really nice guy.
It was more of, like I said, I was more interested in the lawful versus chaotic thing, just because lawful means more likely to potentially hold a grudge on breaking
Do you
want to
check Ethan?
Yeah. He's although
chaotic good.
Chaotic good.
Okay. So he did grab his mug, and then he kind of stormed off back toward the rooms, wherever he's sleeping, probably.
Yeah, if there were any of the people, I don't know if the people, did the people traveling with them seem to be maybe with him, or just more random travelers?
There was probably one or two others who were with the dragon hunter.
So if that is...
And mostly yeah. They seem to have hired Ethan to bring them from place to place.
Gotcha. So if there's anybody else traveling with him that's around that I can see, I'll double check them as well just to see if the whole group is...
So there's one other individual who's in the room. You were not introduced to him. He appears to be elven. He's wearing leather armor. He's thinnish. Silver hair, fair hair. And then he has like a black satiny jacket that just goes over. It's like a short jacket that just goes over his shoulders and only goes down to basically like halfway to his waist. A half jacket, basically. And he is neutral evil. Okay. And that's only other ones that you saw on the, that you're sure were on the caravan with you.
Yeah. And then if there's anybody else around town that I've just been about... Other than that, that's just more of a, well, I have the chance.
Okay. You expect a mix, but your general take is that the overall, the town is good.
Yeah. More than likely over the past day or two, one of the detect balances would have led me in that direction.
Sure. Yeah, you could have checked that for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So...
So Ethan says that he will be ready to leave by at breakfast, not at dawn. And it won't be any good to leave too much earlier than that anyway, because Gold Creek is less than a day's journey. So the way he'll take you, you'll get to Gold Creek before dark if you leave at breakfast. Plus, it's a good, you know, he wants to have a good hearty meal before hitting the road.
Got a long night at work ahead of
him. Yeah. He's not going to get much sleep. Okay. And what?
This means we're going to miss game night.
Yep, most of you. Only the paladin will be in town for game night.
It's awful.
Oof. Real tragic. Yeah. What's the airspace around here been like?
I mean, you see stuff all the time.
Because I could, as necessary, come back here to give him directions if we go anywhere else as a bird.
Right.
And cover the distance a little better.
Yep, that's true. So. Okay. So... Check out The Moment Blood Bowl wherever you buy books. This is written by Pastor Daniel Stevenson, the longtime author and game master of Low Moon Adventures. You have hired Ethan. He is going to go visit all of his lady friends overnight and then grab a few hours sleep. And then at breakfast in the morning, he will lead you out of town going north-northwest toward Gull Creek, which means... If you're getting trained by a Sturd, you'll have your trainer. Chiron was talking about staying behind. You may need to... you may want to inform him that he's staying behind in town with a very bad person, although they are planning on leaving as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll communicate that. Yeah. Well, and they might... It's also keep an eye on your guard tonight, and somebody may want to go keep an eye on... Ethan just to make sure that nothing ill befalls him in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Or keep an eye on Van Breaker to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. Or Van Break.
Okay, so will there be a plan to watch over Ethan and or Van Break overnight, or are you just going to wait and see what happens in the morning?
Has he been expressed himself worrying about the safety?
Yeah, he just did.
Oh, yeah. I do explain that. Eric
pointed out that he verified that he's not a good man.
Talking about his safety.
And the type of person who has a code and would hold a grudge against those who break their word.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to spend some time guarding him if necessary. I believe it would be...
It might be more of following him around from place to place all night.
Yeah, talking about Ethan, right?
Yeah.
So he's gonna. So
it's either.
It's one person gonna stay up all night and follow him around from place to place. Or,
I believe it would be best if.
Or watch Van Breaker.
It would take rounds.
I don't think we should follow him without him being aware.
I think we should find Ethan and make him aware.
Yes.
I can do that.
I'm happy to spend some time following him, especially if I'll be staying in town.
The other option would just to be keep an eye on Van Breaker, or Van Breaker.
Van Break.
About, right?
That's more likely to escalate things.
Or one of his friends, yeah. Well,
it's also less reliable. He may send someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a definite question as to whether, if there's wet work to be done, whether they do it himself or not.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, I'll see if I can track down Ethan at this point.
Yeah, it's easy enough to do. So you have no trouble getting word to him, and you're telling him that you think there could be a danger.
Well, yeah, just to keep his eyes and ears about him, that Van Break may be the type of man who would hold a grudge on the breaking of their agreement. And we can have someone keep an eye out for him if he would like, or not mind.
Well, if you think it's dangerous, then go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I would hate to be dead in the morning when I'm supposed to be leading you out of town. As far as me staying alert and knowing what's going on around me, not sure how that's going to work out exactly. So, yeah, if you want to protect me, go for it. You want to go pick a fight with this guy? That's on you. But it was not my idea.
Oh, no. I
don't want to get in trouble with my grandpa.
Yeah, not something we were looking to do. And I may be being overly cautious, but...
Okay. All right. So...
Iron will follow in then.
Okay.
Assuming Harry relays that.
Yeah. So tomorrow, are we going to be walking?
Yes. All right. Are you spending the night back in Ebony's room in the hillside, or are you going to stay in a room in the inn? They made a point of telling you. She reached out to say you definitely could have stayed there for as long as you're in town if you want.
I'll stay at the inn.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Unbeknownst to anybody else, Herrick is going to, at when it's dark enough and everything, I'm going to become a gull, and I'm going to keep an eye on him just in case he attracts attention.
Okay.
From anybody who's going to potentially do injury.
Okay. And so this is the way it goes down. I'm sorry.
Do we sense that he like notices that Clue may be different, maybe dragon and or has
no.
any suspicion?
No. Well, I mean, he didn't give any indicator of that. He just looked at everybody, and it did seem as if he was less impressed with her. He didn't look at her as long, maybe.
I'm just gonna take a room close to Clunes or something, just kind of like be aware of her surroundings, because there's a dragon hunter in the area.
Makes sense to me. Would you roll a d20?
I just have this inkling of you being the obvious guard.
Just standing in the middle of the road under a street lamp.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So this is what happens. And then we're going to be stopping for the night. We're running out of that. All right. So
dramatic gong.
The middle of the night. The wee hours. The torches in the town have burned out. Nobody tends them overnight. The sky is overcast. Stars, moon are gone. It's pitch black dark. And you see Chiron standing, leaning on the corner of a small house. And then you see Ethan come out of the house carrying his pants. And he runs down the street to another house. Chiron hustles to catch up.
Four houses down.
All right. A gull flits along the street and lights on the corner of a roof and watches Chiron take up position near the new house. Meanwhile, in the dark of the inn, in the dark room, Astrid is laying there listening. It's the middle of the night, it could be 2 a.m., whatever. You're listening, and you hear a floorboard creak in the hallway just outside Clum's room.
Look.
Okay. Throws the cover back. He's fully armed and armored. Snatches his bow, heads toward the door. Okay. Roll a d20.
8.
Okay. Having slept for 3.5 days, Clum is nonetheless sleeping peacefully. You open the door, and as you open the door and look in the direction of her room, you see that the door to her room is open, and you hear very faint sounds of movement in the room, crossing the room toward the bed.
I'm going.
Okay. You dash in the room. You see a silhouetted figure looming over top of the bed, and that is where we stop.
My task was successful.
Clum is sleeping peacefully. I think you're discovering that about your character, that you're good at sleeping.
I'm a good sleeper. There you go. Since I put you to sleep, I'll let you draw the two gems.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look at the writing, though. Set it up.
That was probably going to be my concept for...
The two gems.
These are the two gems. They are medium catacomb cut, white and red on black snowflake obsidian. Looks like that.
That's cool.
And the small square cut green fluorite that looks like that. Snowflake obsidian and green fluorite would be enough, I think, to get what you're...
I've got black and white obsidian and green fluorite.
That'll work.
And then we still have 10 miscellaneous small gems.
Those are
and a
25-ish a piece.
A 1,500 to 2,000 gold piece azurite, a 2,110 gold piece red star ruby.
Yeah, at some point in time, we got to figure out
three other gems that are worth 1,500 to 2,500.
If and how Chiron is paying for his training. Because there is a cost, theoretically.
Yep.
We have 1,069 party gold.
So 40 hours be about 320 gold.
Being so a realist,
320 gold.
Rook,
that's cheap.
Kevin,
only like 8 gold an hour.
Rook, Kevin, the illusionist, and the fighter. Their cuts are redistributed. I'm no longer keeping track of their accounts separately. Yep. Party tremor gets divided out whenever it gets divided out equally amongst the people who are still alive.
If you die,
not
you
just alive, to, around.
Yeah, if you wish to cash out early, announce it.
It's like a jackpot.
And I'm not going to say that if you cash out now and then the rest of it stays in a pile, but I'll remember exactly when you cashed out and what part of the pool isn't yours. So you can cash out multiple times.
Yeah, whoever cashes out the most wins.
Whoever cashes out the most wins. I like it. Okay, so today was the 22nd of August. In theory, we play again in 3 weeks. It is September 12th.
3 days.
3 weeks.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.